Listen, it's dumb and it shouldn't be the case, but these days we spend so much time on video, people will form opinions of us based on how we present in video. Appearance matters. The level of effort it looks like you've gone through, it matters. And as we're doing more and more meetings virtually, to me it's as simple as let's put our best foot forward, you know? Let's not look like, I don't know, unprofessional. Like, video meetings have become such the norm that we see some of these now, and or like you'll hop on a call with an attorney and they're just like so bedraggled and are barely in frame and you're like, really? So like, I think video presentation is very much like part of being professional and coming across the right way these days. So I'm gonna give you 16 tips, some really practical stuff that shouldn't be too hard, but ought to make a big difference in how you approach video and even maybe help you understand what you're seeing a little better when you do see something that you like, understanding why that looks good so that you can effortlessly dazzle people over video. Come on in, let's do it. Let's get to dazzling. You look so good. Okay, you could certainly go down like the big camera equipment path. And there's a lot of people doing that these days. I don't think it's necessary for most people. The one thing that you get with a proper camera that's the biggest difference you see, it's not like, in most cases, it's not the quality of the sensor or anything like that. What actually looks novel most of the time is that the field of view is very different from a webcam. Webcams by design have this massively wide field of view because they're meant to work 3 inches from your face. And when you see something that looks novel, like, or fancy, oftentimes it's because it's actually the opposite. It has a very narrow field of view. So oftentimes in my videos, I'll have a camera with a lens that has a very narrow field of view, and the camera's a good 15 feet away, and I'm in frame, and it looks fancier cinematic because that field of view is narrow. Honestly, for meeting with folks and stuff like that, I really don't think it matters, but know that like that's actually the difference we're usually seeing when there's something that looks fancy or cinematic. The first thing that you'll often do when you run out and buy a new camera and set everything up is, well, first everybody goes, holy Jesus, this is a lot of work, and it actually causes them to make fewer videos. So it has like the opposite of the desired effect. But then if you're like me, you are very disappointed with what you see. Like, I bought a DSLR and it really wasn't that much better, and it wasn't until I learned a lot of these other things that we're going to talk about that I actually had something that I could be proud of. So 16 tips. And then we're going to dig into like the counter arguments, like that kind of the naysayer, that like the folks who don't think this is worthwhile, just to kind of acknowledge that. Tip number one, think about where your eye line is showing up in the frame. So your frame is the rectangle, everything the video can see. Where in that frame is your eyeballs? Where be your eyeballs? For a lot of people, they're like halfway down, if not lower. Many people, for whatever reason these days, have like the top half of the frame is just like the sky above their head. And it might be because you're putting a webcam on top of your monitor, but webcams will also tip down. So like there's no reason why half of the frame above you needs to be just the wall. So your eyeballs ought to be generally about 2/3 of the way up the frame, maybe between 2/3 and 3/4 of the way up the frame. The same way of like a portrait of a person, unless you're trying to show off a landscape behind them or something like that, the person's head's gonna be 2/3 of the way up the frame. So get that eye line in the right spot in the frame. Sort of thing you just gotta set up once and then don't have to think about it anymore. Number two, your height relative to the camera height. So the biggest thing is probably that the easiest thing to do for most setups is have a webcam on top of the monitor, but then that means that the webcam is looking down at you. And there's some very real psychological things that come along with this. When people look at you on video, then it's like they're looking down at you. And to see two clips of the same person side by side, it makes a really big difference in the perception of what that person looks like. So the question is like, okay, well, I have it on top of my monitor. Like, how do I do that then? Like, I don't want to create this really complicated thing or have to do a bunch of setup every time I'm on video. And I get that. So how do we get the webcam slightly below your eye level? Think of it at like chin level. So that your webcam's looking just a bit up at you. Like it should be just below your eye line. If you're using a monitor arm, as we ran through last week, the benefits of that and clearing up desk space for activities, it's as easy as moving the monitor down. So I have a height at which my monitor usually hangs out when I'm working. If I have a webcam on top of the monitor, I'm going to hop on a meeting. I just push the monitor down. And while I'm on that meeting, the monitor is a little bit lower, but it's still completely usable and I can get the webcam to the right height then. Then when I'm done, I just push the monitor back up and it's back to where it was. So monitor arm totally solves for this. Another move is standing. And this can actually be helpful for a number of reasons, just to keep you more alert during the meeting. And I think it makes you look a little more engaged when you're standing because we're generally moving around and kind of on our toes a little more. So if you have a standing desk, just set that desk to whatever height's going to make sense for the camera as you are standing on that meeting. If you don't have a monitor arm, if you don't want to do the standing thing, the other workaround is you can get these little kind of freestanding tripods, and they have a screw at the top that will thread into the underside of a webcam. Most webcams have like the threaded hole in the underside of them so that you can put them on a little stand. And you could put that stand up and like peekaboo it between a couple monitors. If there's not already a gap between those monitors, you can just move that monitor a bit when you're hopping on a call. But the easiest thing really is a monitor arm, because then it's just a matter of moving the whole monitor up and down anytime you're hopping on a call. And just like that, like you are in the frame where you want to be with that camera looking up at you just a bit. And I know it seems silly and trivial. There's a lot of aspects of video stuff that we would have said were especially silly and trivial before COVID. But the reality is how we take most of our meetings now. And if this is 90% of how people see you, it impacts like their perception of you, whether you like it or not. If you're watching on the video podcast, like this, you will always notice this in the framing, as I'm about 2/3 of the way up the frame and you're always looking just a bit up at me. And it makes a really, really big difference. In fact, if you've got a webcam sitting on top of your monitor right now, like spin up a Zoom or something like that, just hold it a bit below your eye line and a bit above your eye line, take a screenshot of each or just look at what that looks like. It makes a big difference. This episode is sponsored in part by Relay. Did you know that Relay saves advisors 3 to 5 hours of work per client per month? Because collaboration between clients and advisors on Relay is easy and secure. Every client you invite to Relay gets added to your firm's partner portal. You may have seen we recently did a demo day on Relay on the main channel. Relay does a bunch of cool stuff. What gets me most excited is access, not having to hack together like using your client's access or your team using your access. So every client gets added to your partner portal. This means a portal where firm staff can safely access and switch between client accounts from a single login, their own login, role-based permission levels, direct bank feeds to QBO and Xero, and statement syncs with HubDoc and Dext, ultra-detailed transaction data that speeds up reconciliation, built-in receipt management, accounts payable automation. Plus, Relay's new partner program introduces meaningful cash rewards for advisors, more partner perks, and an advisor directory to help clients find you, the clients that are already banking with Relay. Head over to relayfi.com/adjacentstats to learn more and book a demo, or check out the link in the show notes. Disclaimer voice: Relay is a financial technology company, not an FDIC-insured bank. Banking services and FDIC insurance are provided through Thread Bank member FDIC. The Relay Visa debit card is issued by Thread Bank pursuant to a license from Visa USA Incorporated and may be used everywhere Visa debit cards are accepted. This episode is sponsored in part by Cloud Accountant Staffing. Y'all know I'm a big advocate of hiring offshore. One of the biggest changes I made in my firm, we transitioned a legacy firm from 100% onshore local hiring to 100% distributed US and then 100% distributed globally hiring. And honestly, is the best thing we did. It virtually alleviated all of our hiring pains, completely changed how we thought about staffing projects and the type of work that we wanted to bring on. Because you know what? The folks we hired offshore, really freaking good. A lot of misconceptions around the type of people that you hire offshore because your enterprises will oftentimes use offshore folks for like menial work. Absolutely not the case. There are tens of thousands of people working for big four accounting firms, you know, offshore outside the US. You can get folks that can do anything, from tax to junior level stuff to super senior level stuff. But try to do that yourself, figure it all out yourself. That's gonna be hard, it's gonna be scary. Really good place to start, Cloud Accountant Staffing. They will hold your hand through that process. Their story is super simple. An accounting firm in the US hired a bunch of people in the Philippines, fell in love with them, but didn't fall in love with the fees they were having to pay to the staffing companies that were managing these employees. So they built their own solution. And now they're starting to pull other accountants in. I'd encourage you, a big tipping point for me was when I was like I'm going to stop being opinionated on this and just try to learn. And so I talked with other practitioners. I talked with some of the vendors that would like help you get into offshoring. That really opened things up for me. So if you've been on the fence, I'd encourage you to at least learn about it. And if you start heading down that path, consider cloud accountant staffing. Tip number three, you're not gonna like this, but hear me out. Learn to edit.
There goes Jason again with his over the top hot takes. How much time do you think I have?
Hear me out. You think editing will take you more time? If you learn to make basic edits, it will actually take you less time. Loom is still the best option to do this. The beauty of Loom is you can record a video with the click of a button. It will host that video for you. So it'll give you a link that you can use to share that video. But then after you record the video, it shows you a little timeline of everything you recorded, and you can just select and remove stuff. Like you just click, drag, select, hit remove, boom. You just made an edit to your video. You removed a mistake. What everybody does when they're starting out with video is they're like, okay, this is what I'm going to say. I'm ready. And you may even have a script and you're ready to go. And you're like, hey, Jim, it's great to see. And then you immediately make a mistake. Or you get halfway through and you keep screwing up the same thing. And so then you go back and you start over. And before you know it, you've taken like 20 stabs at this video and you're all sweaty and you're frustrated. Don't do this. Start shooting the video and don't end until you've said everything that you need to say. In general, don't worry about mistakes that much. But if you totally bungle something, go back to the beginning of that statement and start it again. Then when you get to the end with tool like Loom, you just clip out the mistake. What you're looking to do is, by the end of the recording, have a good take of everything you need to say. And then at the end, you just remove anything that was a mistake or you didn't mean to say. Now, don't overthink this. Folks aren't going to be that concerned with you making mistakes when you're recording. But especially when you're starting out, I am 100% convinced that if you compare the time that a lot of people spend trying to get it just right perfectly in a single take versus the amount of time it takes to record it one time, make a couple mistakes, and then clip those two mistakes out in like 60 seconds, it's absolutely faster. So we're not talking about editing like, I'm going to learn Adobe Premiere or anything. Like, this stuff is built into many of the tools that we use. It's one of the reasons why Loom's still really good for this stuff is it just makes those quick edits at the end really, really easy. Number four, if you got a light, don't position it directly in front of you. Cool lighting looks cool because there's fall off across a person's face. One side's going to be darker than the other. If the light is directly in front of you, like if you're facing straight towards a window, if you have a ring light or something like that, and it's directly in front of you, your whole face will be flat. What makes video look cool is dimensionality in the lighting. Try moving that light 45 degrees to the side or you're gonna have a cooler look. Number five, we talked about this a bit last week. Avoid having extreme darks and extreme brights within a shot. So your webcam has a little baby sensor, which means it can't take in much light and has to like adjust the brightness to do the best that it can with what it can see. And if you have something super dark, and the sun in a shot, you're asking it to somehow be able to both expose for the brightest thing in our solar system and your black sweatpants. And it's gonna lose that battle. So avoid anything that's super bright. It means don't sit in front of an open window. Don't light your face really brightly in a dark room. The more even the lighting throughout the room can be, the better it's going to look on your webcam, which doesn't have a big, what they call dynamic range of being able to see dark and bright. Like think of it as there's like a window within the entire spectrum of really bright stuff to really dark stuff. There's a narrow window that your webcam will be able to properly expose. If it's too bright, it'll look blown out and white. If it's too dark, it'll just look black. So the more you can limit that window of like how bright and dark everything in the room is, like the better that shot will look. You can make a killer looking webcam shot. This is probably the biggest thing that makes a shot look amateurish. If the whole thing is lit in a way that it can display well, like it can look totally fine. Where these end up looking really bad is when you've got stuff that's like blown out because you're asking too much of that little baby webcam sensor. Number six, talked about this last week as well. Try turning off your overhead lights, especially if you've got a window or if you've got a light that you use for videos. Overhead lights just make you look bad. They make your eyes look really dark. If you don't want to have to get up and down all the time, using a Wi-Fi light switch can make this easier for you. So you could actually turn that off and on without having to get that big accountant Heine out of the chair. Number seven, don't set up in front of a perpendicular wall. Talked about that last week. Generally, that's not going to look great if the wall behind you is totally flat. It's better if you're back background has like layers of depth to it. That's number nine. If you're able to layer in depth in the background, that's great. Like, you know, if you've got a wall, a plant halfway between you and the wall, like it creates kind of more depth back there. We skipped number eight. Number eight was as much depth behind you as possible. If you have your back to a wall, it's never going to be a super interesting shot. Sometimes you don't have an option and that's fine. But if possible, if you have a way to orient yourself to where the back wall can be farther away, that's going to look more interesting. Number 10, an accent light in the background. Could be a lamp. Could be a little light strip that's behind, you know, a bookcase or something and like casts a little bit of light on the wall behind it. Just something that is like adds a bit of texture to what they see in the background. That can be cool. Number 11, anything but beige. Literally any color is going to look better than beige. If you get too extreme here, you're going to be asking a lot of your camera sensor again. So for example, I've got a black backdrop that I usually have up. If I use a webcam with this, it's going to make my face be super white and blown out because it's trying to expose for the really dark backdrop. So if you go extreme here with like white walls or black walls, you're going to be asking a lot of the webcam. It may make you look funny, but something that is more a mid-tone, it can be grayscale still. Just the beige is like, especially if you're a white boy like me, it's not going to do you any favors. 12, fill that background space. Big stuff is easier than small stuff. Photos and pictures and stuff like that are actually kind of hard because they're small things that are like flat against the wall, not offering any depth. This is why fake plants are great, as they can be big and take up a lot of space, but they also have depth. They're not like plastered against the wall. Some people will use, you know, murals or something to fill up space. Just be careful that they're not too busy. And the one downside of a mural is it is flat. It's not adding any interesting like depth to the shot. Number 13, avoid having doors in the background. This is actually kind of an interesting psychological thing I've seen in a couple different places. Doors can make the other person feel like they're going to be interrupted or you're going to leave or something. Like having that door in the shot, there's like a weird kind of psychological thing where there's this like impending distraction. Not the end of the world if you don't really have any other options, but something to think about. Number 14, don't put a mic between you and the person unless you are recording a pod. I see a lot of people now with microphones that they will use for like Zoom meetings. Gang, that mic can be like off to the side pointing at you and you'll still sound perfectly fine, probably much better than the person on the other side. Don't get that thing like right up in your grill. Like it's just creating a barrier between you and the person on the other side. There's very few contexts like having a physical mic, like your sound is going to probably sound way better. There's very few contexts in which like the quality gets so important that you really have to have it right up in your face. Number 15, if you really want to geek on this, something that more people are doing now is they're actually using a teleprompter to be able to look into the camera while being on a meeting. So the problem you have is that other person will always be on your monitor. Like you'll always be looking at your monitor to see them, but your camera is always going to be somewhere else. So you're never looking directly into camera. You can solve this with a teleprompter. The way teleprompters work, basically there's an angled glass between you and the camera. Below that angled glass is a screen. And so you see the reflection of that screen in the angled glass while the camera can see through the glass from the other side. So what you're going to be looking at is the reflection of whoever you're talking with while the camera can see you through the glass. So you're actually looking at them while looking straight into the camera. Elgato actually came out with a really novel solution for this. It's like this little baby teleprompter, because normally teleprompters are kind of big and a pain. Elgato came with this little bitty thing that you can actually have on your desk. What's that called? They call it prompter. So Elgato prompter, we can put a link in the show notes. It's got a little built-in like small monitor, but you can literally just like put a webcam or a small regular camera behind it. And it basically presents like a monitor. Like when you're looking at it, it will look like a display, but your camera is looking through it so that you could be looking into that person's eyes as they're talking to you. That's a little more fringe. People definitely aren't going to like expect that, but it is nice when you can do it. Also, if you're presenting video on scripts, this is a really easy way to start exploring using teleprompters to make that easier. All my main channel videos, for example, are done, you know, off of scripts where I'm looking through a teleprompter and the words are there. Gives you a wildly different level of confidence and speeds up the production process a lot because you don't have to memorize anything. You're not stammering around. But some people are now using that stuff for meetings as well. Today's episode, gang, it's sponsored in part by the fine folks at LiveFlow. Did you know LiveFlow has over 100 spreadsheet templates that anyone can just go out and swipe. These templates they've built out in Google Sheets for all sorts of things. I'm looking at it right now. We got a 4-week rolling cash flow forecast, a 13-week cash flow forecast, board reporting template, break-even analysis template, budget the actuals, consolidated AP dashboard, business KPI dashboard, all this stuff. You can just go swipe on the LiveFlow website, literally just copy the template. And if you want, you can just make use of those. But here's the problem. Those spreadsheets, they're not just gonna magically update with the information from the accounting software, right? You're gonna have to go, you gotta go look over there, you gotta get the thing, you gotta bring it over there. Next month, you gotta do the same thing. Something changes, you gotta do it again. So if you want, yeah, go swipe those spreadsheets and spend the rest of your days keying in figures manually. Or swipe the spreadsheet, get started with LiveFlow, which will automatically sync from QuickBooks Online that data into those templates. Works with the templates they'll give you, works with, frankly, any old spreadsheet you use. If you already got one that you love, you can make it smart by connecting it to QuickBooks. They've rolled out a bunch of stuff in the last year from budgeting. You can sync budgets in from QBO. Big thing they did a couple months back was launch consolidations. So you can roll up groupings in like a visual way, whether those different companies have the same chart of accounts or not. So if you're ready to make some big brain auto-updating spreadsheets, or even if you just want to swipe some templates, get a taste of what it's all about, check out LiveFlow and the link in the show notes. This episode is brought to you in part by TeamUp, helping you recruit top Filipino accountants without any ongoing monthly fees. The difference between TeamUp and all the other offshoring options is that TeamUp helps you hire staff directly. No middleman. You work directly with your new hire in the Philippines. Hire the person, not the company. Guys, gals, gang, here's just a few reasons to hire directly. You have access to higher level talent. Makes sense. You have complete control over team culture and training. They keep 100% of what you pay them, and it's a lot more affordable for you, so you can retain your team for the long term. TeamUp can source accountants with experience working at US or Australian firms, familiar with tools like Xero, QBO, and Dex. Also recruit specialist roles, team leaders, tax specialists, administrative assistants. Thought experiment. What if you had an executive assistant for the first time this tax season? Just throwing it out there. What would they do? Start at that email video I did on the main channel recently. Get help with that stanky old inbox. I digress. TeamUp recruits these talented folks for a flat one-time fee of 4,000 US American dollars. That's it, 4K one time. Somebody at Robert Half just did a spit take. Robert Half reference. We ever gonna get Robert Half to sponsor this pod? Not anymore. And they can connect you with an affordable employer of record if you need help with payroll and compliance once you hire that person. Big fan of hiring in the Philippines. You know I did a bunch of that. Check out the link in the description to learn more about TeamUp. Last one, number 16. Stop worrying about what you look like on video. You could spend weeks on the 15 things we just talked about, but if it keeps you from making videos, it totally defeats the point. I've heard from so many people who are like, oh, I went out and I bought this hardware and all that hardware and all these different things, and it's so much work and it's so hard and I haven't been able to figure it out yet, and I may need a new computer for it, and all these things where it's like, the best way to get good at video is like being on video more. There is like meeting video versus like recording videos, you know, that sort of thing. But what you don't want to end up with is to have overthought this so much as to like not make videos or make fewer videos as a result. So ultimately, people want to hear from you. They want to see you. Your clients want to hear from you more. Don't be afraid to get that mug on camera. It makes a really big difference, wildly different than an email. People feel a connection to you when they can see your face. If you want to nerd on this stuff further, a good follow online, his name is Kevin Shen, S-H-E-N. He's basically an internet think boy now that just like helps people with their video setups. He's got a couple courses online. The cheapest one starts at $500. And then he'll advise you on how to set up your whole video setup virtually. But that starts at like $8,000, it looked like. Now, a lot of self-limiting beliefs here. Why is this worthwhile? Why is this worth my time? We've actually got a special guest that we're going to talk with about this. You've heard from her before. She's one of the 7 internal voices that we've talked about, that we all have. This is Carly the Comparison Lady. She's going to get in the way here because as soon as you start trying to make improvements or you're like, okay, I'm finally going to do this, you're going to start looking around at everybody else and comparing yourself and all the ways that you don't measure up. So we're going to debate Carly here to push through the internal dialogue that like all of us have. That is to say, well, I'm never going to do it as good as Jason or as this other person. Thus, that's a reason why I shouldn't do it. So let's start this out by getting Carly's take on what we've just gone through. I have a feeling she will have some things to say about trying to get accountants to look better on video.
Sighs dramatically.
Sighs dramatically.
Oh, Jason. Huh? You and your little podcast trying to help accountants look better on video.
Sure
it's
are.
Adorable, really. But let's be real here, sweetie. No matter how many tips and tricks you throw at them, they're never going to be as good as the real pros out there. I mean, have you seen some of the YouTubers and TikTokers these days? They've got it all. Perfect lighting, flawless editing, and backgrounds that look like they're straight out of a magazine.
It's true.
Your little accountants don't stand a chance.
Well.
But sure, let's go through your list. Can you see your eyeline in frame?
What?
Please. They'll be too busy trying to figure out which way is up. Relative camera height. They'll probably end up with the camera pointing up their nose. And editing? Ha! They'll spend more time trying to figure out the software than actually making the video.
That's true.
And don't even get
that's
me started on lighting and backgrounds. They'll either blind themselves with the light or end up looking like they're in a dungeon. Plus, fake plants? Really? That's the best you could come up with?
Yes.
But you know what, Jason? It doesn't even matter. Because at the end of the day, no one wants to watch a bunch of boring accountants ramble on about numbers and taxes. They'll put everyone to sleep faster than a warm glass of milk.
That hurts.
So why bother? As I always say, if you can't be the best, don't bother trying the rest.
What?
Stick to your spreadsheets, accountants. Leave the video making to the pros. Flips hair and walks away.
Flips hair and walks away. Okay, accountants. I've a number of notes. That was more convincing than I thought it would be. And I'm not actually very good at arguments, so I might be outmatched here. Nobody wants to watch a bunch of boring accountants ramble on about their numbers and taxes. That's a great argument. There's a lot of people that actually think that. I think the opposite is true. I think your clients want to hear more from you. Specifically, they want to see your face more in most cases. It just like it creates that human connection, especially as everything's getting cheapened and AI will give you answers and all these things. Like we got to lean into like that relationship building of showing up on video. If you haven't heard this before and you're like, what the heck's happening? Today, we're actually using Claude, who recently launched a killer new language model that, in my opinion, is better than GPT-4, the best model from OpenAI. The new model, you got to pay $20 a month to get it at the website claude.ai. And so I'm having the language model basically role play with a prompt running through like defining the avatar of Carly, the comparison lady. And then we use another tool called 11 Labs to give a voice to what it responds with. I have a rebuttal. Here's the thing, Carly, is these days being a professional is about showing up well on video and being able to be presentable, even just for meetings. That stuff matters. And these self-limiting beliefs around, I'm just an accountant. These things are holding us back from being able to do new things and lean into new media. TikTokers weren't TikTokers until they started being TikTokers, and everybody's got to start somewhere. Not that we're going to try to make a bunch of accountants TikTokers, but who are you to say that accountants can't be cool on video?
Rolls eyes.
Rolls eyes.
Oh,
okay.
Please spare me the motivational speech, Jason.
Jason?
You think a few fancy lights and a tripod are going to turn these number crunchers into video stars?
I sure do.
Get real. They'll always be accountants, no matter how many hashtags they use. Boring
AF. Hashtags.
But hey, if you want to keep encouraging them to embarrass themselves online, be my guest. Just don't come crying to me when they're the laughingstock of the internet. Remember, if you can't dazzle with your personality, don't bother with the technicality. Smirks and sips tea.
Oh, we got a tea sipper. That's not what this is about. This isn't about being amazing online. It's about being like presentable. And the fact that this is part of professional services these days, like the fact that you just have to show up online and be presentable. I'm going to give her one more chance. She hasn't won me over there. I guess I have more belief in accountants than you do. Wasn't that long ago that I was just an accountant and I'd never done any video. And now I think my videos are pretty okay. I'm not convinced. Give me your best closing argument on why accountants shouldn't be bothering with this.
Takes a deep breath and puts on a dramatic face.
Okay.
All right, accountants, listen up. Don't let Jason fool you. You're meant for the back office.
No.
Not the spotlight. Trying to be a video star is like putting lipstick on a pig.
Oh.
It's still a pig. No one wants to watch you drone on about tax codes and the risks. One mistake, and your career is over. Stick to your spreadsheets and calculators. Leave the video making to people with actual personalities. Trust me.
Oh, ouch.
It's for your own good. Remember, if you can't be a star, don't bother reaching for the sky. Drop Smike and walk off stage.
Drop Smike. There you have it. If you can't be a star, you go reach for the sky, you accountants. Mic drop.